26. "Why is everyone looking at me?" Wayne said.
"Natural reaction," Maracy said.
She held a gun on Edworn, as did Milan. Wax carefully picked his way across the floor. "Looks like a throne room," he thought absently. The others started to follow, and he held them back with an upraised hand. "Stay in this center row, walking toward the dais," he ordered them, not looking. "There's a pit trap on either side, and that slightly depressed square over there, it'll drop a sharpened blade from the ceiling."
"How does he know that?"
Steris asked. She clutched her notebook, within which she made lists.
"Wax has a natural affinity for things what kill people," Wayne said. "You're all still looking at me. Rosts, you think I somehow got in here and lifted the rusting thing?"
"No," Maracy admitted, "but someone did. Relure the Chondra?"
"No," Wax said, crouching and picking among the pieces of glass on the steps leading up to the pedestal. "These have been here a long time, judging by the dust." There was no way the Chondra had gone down that corridor outside. Too many traps were left, and all the ones that had been sprung had bodies near them. It was likely that the Chondra had snapped his pictures and wisely returned home to gather more of his kind and mount a proper expedition. Chondra were immortal. He wouldn't be hasty in trying to get in here. He'd have planned to take years studying the temple and extracting its secrets. Who then? Telson passed him, stepping to the dais. Glass crunched under her feet, and Wax glanced up to see her staring at the empty pedestal, aghast.
"How?"
she murmured. Milan shook her head.
"What would you do if you'd secretly stolen the thing? Leave the place gaping open to let everyone know, or reset the traps and sneak away?"
No, Wax thought. Reset the traps? Unlikely. He glanced at his uncle, who stood with pipe in hand, staring at the dais with bristling anger. He was surprised by this. Or was that an act? Was this all a setup, after taking the bands, to throw Wax off? Wax brushed the dust from a piece of glass, then dropped it and selected a larger chunk, one of the corner pieces. Wax eyed it critically, then took another piece and set it alongside.
"This is a disappointment," Edworn said.
He seemed genuinely troubled. This wasn't him, Wax thought, stretching out one of his mist coat tassels and using it to judge the length of the shard of glass. No, this goes back way further than that. He stood up, the arguments of the others becoming a distant buzz to him as he regarded the supposed resting place of the Bands of Mourning. A small, velvet-topped pedestal, frozen in time.
"I guess that is that," Edworn said. "Time for this to end, then."
Wax spun, whipping out his gun. He pointed it not at Edworn, but at his sister. She stared him down, hand at her pocket. Then she slowly removed a gun. Where had she gotten that? He couldn't sense it. Aluminum.
"Telson," Wax said, voice hoarse.
Edworn wouldn't have come in here without a mole. She made the most sense.
"But rusts."
"I'm sorry, Waxillium," she said.
"Don't do this."
He hesitated. Too long. She raised the gun. He fired. She did the same. His shot swerved away from her, pushed by allomancy. But her shot, aluminum, took him just below the neck. Maracy moved before she had time to think. Her rifle already in position, she shot at suit. Whatever was happening, having him dead couldn't hurt. Unfortunately, her bullet veered as well, missing Edworn. Then her weapon flew backward from her hands. Suit smiled at her with infuriating unconcern. At the pedestal, Waxillium stumbled back. He'd been hit right where the collarbone met his neck. He tried to remain on his feet, but Telson shot him a second time in the abdomen. Waxillium collapsed, rolled down the steps to the base of the dais, and groaned. Edworn was an allomancer. Telson was in the set. Again, Maracy reacted before she knew what she was doing. Wayne leaped for Suit, but Suit took a hit from the dueling canes without flinching, then used his own cane, which was banded in metal, and pushed it against Wayne. Wayne was flung toward Maracy, canes clattering to the floor. He grunted, hitting the ground as Marcy tried to leap pursuit. Perhaps if she caught just him in a bubble with her, Wayne could... Her metal reserves were gone. Wayne stumbled up behind her, looking similarly confused. Telson had tossed something between the two of them. A small metal cube. Another allomantic grenade. She was an allomancer, too. She tossed a bag of something to suit. Coins. Wayne recovered from his surprise, leaping toward Edwarn again. But the man pushed a handful of coins. Wayne cursed, flinching in midair as the coins ripped through his body. Marcy watched in horror, and nearby someone screamed. Shock. No. She wouldn't let herself be stunned. She hurled herself at Suit, though he casually shoved her aside. She briefly caught hold of his shirt as she fell, but then her fingers slipped. Her head knocked against the stones as she hit. Dazed, she was able to see Waxillium stumble to his feet. He lurched, bleeding, as Telson fired again. Then he charged, but not for the doorway or for Suit. He scrambled toward the side of the room, away from everything. The only thing in that direction was a corner, surely trapping him. The floor dropped, plunging Waxillium into the pit. Nearby, Wayne climbed to his feet.
"Keep him down!"
Suit shouted, launching coins at Wayne. Telson, atop the dais, fired on Wayne. She wasn't a terribly good shot, but between her and Edwarn, they managed to hit several times. That didn't drop him, not with the gold medal, mind. He made a rude gesture and ran out the door, healing from the wounds almost as soon as he was hit. Suit growled as Telson's weapon clicked, out of bullets. Marcy tried to grab Suit by the legs and maybe trip him, but he kicked her in the chest. She grunted, breath knocked out of her, and Suit put his foot against her throat.
"Wayne!"
Suit yelled.
"Come back or I'll kill the others!"
No reply. Wayne, it seemed, had taken the chance to escape down the hallway outside. Good. He wasn't abandoning them. He had correctly realized that their chances were best if he escaped.
"I'll do it!"
Suit yelled.
"I'll kill her!"
"You think he cares about that?" Telson asked.
"Honestly, I can't tell with that one," Suit said.
He waited a moment to see if Wayne replied, then sighed, taking his foot off Marcy's neck. Dazed, still having trouble breathing, she took stock of the situation. Milan was writhing on the floor. When had that happened? Alec and Steris stood frozen with wide eyes. This had all taken place in a flash. A few years back, Marcy would have been like those two, stunned and confused. She was impressed, on one level, that she'd been able to react as quickly as she had. Her growth hadn't been enough. Edwarn picked up her rifle, sighting it on her.
"Over you go," he said, gesturing with the gun for Marcy to crawl to Steris and Alec so he could cover them all at once.
She considered trying something, but what? Her metal reserves were gone, and the import of what had just transpired was settling upon her. Waxillium was maybe bleeding to death at the bottom of that pit. Wayne had escaped, but had no bend alloy. Milan was down. She might have to do something about this herself.
"Please,"
Alec said, frantically grabbing Marcy by the arm as she joined the other two.
"Please."
He was panicked, but she couldn't blame him. He'd seen Waxillium, the man he worshipped, fall and was once again in Suit's hands. Steris narrowed her eyes at Telson. Waxillium had seen the truth, but too slowly. He hadn't searched her, and he'd hesitated instead of firing. For all his cleverness, Waxillium had a hole in his judgment regarding Suit and Telson. He always had. "Not that you did any better," Marcy thought. Telson walked calmly down the steps, holding her handgun before herself. "That was bungled."
"Bungled," Edwarn said.
"I thought it went well.
I let Waxillium escape."
"You shot him thrice," Edwarn said. "He's as good as dead."
"And you're going to trust that?" Telson asked. Edwarn sighed.
"No."
Telson nodded, her expression calm as she slid a knife from her pocket, then knelt and plunged it into Milan. Steris cried out, stepping toward them.
"What did you do to her?"
Marcy asked. They didn't answer, but Marcy suspected the truth. There were liquids that, when injected into Chondra, immobilized them and made them start to lose their shapes. It was temporary, but Marcy could only guess that, while she had been focused on Suit, Telson had somehow used one of those on Milan. With her arms twisted, her legs broken, The Chondra's skeleton hadn't been in any shape for her to fight. Telson worked for a gruesome moment and came out with a spike. She tucked it into her pocket, then kept working. Suit walked over to Marcy, and through his ripped shirt Marcy caught a glint of metal peeking between two of his ribs. Not a large spike like the ones Iron Eyes had, something more subtle. They hadn't just been experimenting with hemallergy. They'd used spikes to grant themselves powers. Telson finally got the second spike out of poor Milan and pocketed it. The Chondra melted, a mess of greenish-brown flesh and muscles without anything to cling to, oozing out of her clothing, leaving her bones and her skull of green crystal to gaze vacantly at the ceiling. Telson pointed toward the pit Waxillium had fallen into.
"Chase him down."
"Me?"
Suit said.
"Surely we can wait for—"
"No waiting," Telson said. "You know him best. You hunt him down. He is still alive. I've met rocks less durable than my brother." Suit sighed again, but nodded this time, swapping guns with Telson so he'd have the aluminum pistol, then reloading it. He walked toward the pit. Marcy glanced at Telson, who watched Milan's remains but held the rifle at the ready. Should Marcy charge her? Suit obeyed her. She wasn't simply a member of the set. She outranked Waxillium's uncle. And she was obviously an allomancer. The way she'd used the allomantic grenade proved that. Suit climbed down, using a rope. Shortly after that, Marcy heard footsteps outside, and soon an array of soldiers in uniforms like those from the warehouse piled in.
"The short one," Telson said, urgent. "Wayne, did you pass him?"
"Sir?"
one of the soldiers asked.
"No, we haven't seen him."
"Damn," Telson said. "Where did that rat get to? I need as many men as we can get scouring that hallway in the plain outside. He's extremely dangerous, particularly if he has another vial of Bend alloy."
Marcy turned to Steris, who was still dazed, eyes wide, still looking at the hole where Waxillium had fallen. Alec held Marcy's arm, his eyes visible behind his mask.
"I'll get us out of this," she whispered to them.
"Somehow." 27.
"He'll tell on us. You know he will."
Wax rolled onto his back, staring upward. Darkness. The pit had twisted during the fall. He remembered ramming into one of its curves and deposited him here. Rusts. How could his vision swim when he couldn't see anything? He fumbled at his gun belt and came up with a vial, which he managed to down, replenishing his metal reserves.
"You coming? Of course you're not. You never want to risk trouble."
No. He could see something. A lone candle in a black room. He blinked his eyes, but it was gone. A vision of the past, a memory. Light in a dark room, set there to distract. That was what the dais up above had been. The bands had never been there. The people who had built the place left the broken glass, the empty rack, the dais and the pedestal, all as a ruse. But they'd made a mistake. The glass box they'd broken had been too large to fit on the pedestal. Candle in a dark room, Wax thought. That meant the bands were somewhere else. He blinked and thought, as his eyes adjusted, he actually could pick out light. He wasn't in a narrow pit. That hole had dumped him out somewhere. He heaved himself over in a twist, coming to his knees, and felt at his gut. Blood there. A bad hit. All the way through, judging by the wetness he felt trickling down the back of his thigh. He'd taken a shot to the leg, too, but that didn't matter. He'd broken that leg in his fall, anyway. The shot near his neck was the worst. He knew this without even touching it. Knew it by the way his body worked, by the way pieces of him were growing numb, the way certain muscles didn't respond right. That light. A soft blue. Not a candle, but one of the built-in lights of the building. He crawled toward the light, dragging his broken leg, scraping on stone, sweat streaming down the sides of his face and mixing with the blood he spilled to the ground.
"Harmony,"
he whispered.
"Harmony."
No reply. Now, he prayed. What of his hatred? For a time, that light was everything to him. An hour could have passed as he crawled, or perhaps it had been only a minute. As he neared, he saw sentries in the dark, people sitting arrayed before the light, casting long shadows into the depths of the room. The ceiling was low, barely taller than a man could stand. That was why the people had to sit.
Focus,
he thought to himself, flaring his metal. The sentries had metal on them, and, yes, one other faint line, pointing toward a spot on the floor up ahead. Another trap. The flared metal seemed to bring him clarity, helping him push back the muddled sensation. Blood loss. He was fading quickly. Still, a shade more alert, he saw those sentries for what they were. Corpses. Seated somehow, draped in warm clothing. He passed the first row of them and looked in on frozen faces, shriveled with the passing of time, but remarkably well preserved. Each held a mask in its lap. They sat in four concentric rings, looking at the light up ahead. Here, the ones who had built this place had died. Then how had word of the key to the door been passed on? Wax crawled among the huddled dead, frozen despite their warm clothing. He could imagine them seated here, waiting for the end, as the heat in their metal minds dwindled. The cold, creeping in as night does after sunset, a final, consuming darkness. And ahead, another pedestal, smaller, carved of white rock. A simple light glowing on its top revealed a set of metal bracers. No fancy trimmings here, just the silent reverence of the dead. Something sounded behind him, a scrape of boots on stone. Then a light flooded the room from there.
Waxilium! Edwarn's voice called.
Wax huddled down.
I know you're here, son, Edwarn said. That's quite the trail of blood you're leaving. This is over, as you must realize.
He's an allomancer now, Wax thought, remembering what Edwarn had done to Marisi's gun. The man carried a pistol, the aluminum one that Telson had used. Telson. How long had she been working with them? He hated that he'd guessed, hated that his first instinct, even if he'd been right, had been to pull a gun on his only sibling. It just made too much sense. She'd caused Wayne to knock the backpack out the door. She'd killed the brute in the warehouse when he'd been about to speak, potentially addressing her, outing her as a member of the set. Suit wouldn't have come into the temple with them unless he had the upper hand. He needed to stay focused. Edwarn was approaching. Wax was tempted to push a bullet toward the man, but he held himself back. Edwarn raised the light, illuminating the vast emptiness and looking slowly around himself. He didn't seem to have spotted Wax, and the bodies all had some metal on them, so Edwarn's steel sight wouldn't reveal Wax. But the blood trail would soon betray him. Still, Wax waited. He bowed himself, huddling down in the line of figures, imitating their stooped postures. Have to get those bracers. He'd get shot before he could reach them, if he could even make it that distance without passing out.
I did try to protect you, Suit said.
What did you do to my sister?
Wax demanded, his voice echoing in the darkness. Suit smiled, walking forward, scanning the bodies. If he could draw the man closer.
I didn't do anything to her, Suit said. Son, she recruited me.
Lies, Wax hissed.
The old world is dying, Waxilium, Edwarn said. I told you that a new one will soon be born, a world where men like you don't belong.
I can find my place in a world of airships.
That's not what I'm talking about, Suit said. I'm talking about the secrets, Waxilium. The world where constables exist only to make people feel secure. It will be a world of shadows, of hidden government. The shift is already happening. Those who rule these days are not the men who smile at crowds and make speeches.
Edwarn moved around a corpse, then followed Wax's blood trail with his eyes. Only a few more steps.
The day of kings has passed, Edworn said. The day of mighty men to be worshipped has gone, and with its passing goes the right of allomancers to power. No more will their gifts hinge on the whims of fate. Instead, the powers will come to those who deserve them, who can use them.
He raised his foot to step, then hesitated, looking down. He grinned, moving his foot backward and making Wax's heart fall.
Trying to goad me into stepping onto the trap. Such a brash plan, Waxillium.
He glanced upward.
Looks like it's rigged to drop this entire section of ceiling. You'd be caught in it, too.
Edworn turned and looked right at where Wax was sitting, trying to hide among the corpses. Wax raised his head.
It would have been worth the cost.
He still had his shotgun, but doubted he had the strength to use it. Instead, kneeling, he held out a single bloodied hand, clutching a bullet in it.
Shall we see how good you are, Uncle?
A duel. Perhaps he could win a duel. Edworn regarded him, then shook his head.
I think not.
He stepped on the pressure plate, triggering the trap. Telson marched Marisi and the others out of the temple, and once they were outside, Telson reached to Marisi's arm and ripped free the medallion there. Marisi gasped, clutching her purse as the cold descended upon her like a swarm of insects, nipping at every bit of exposed skin. Her dress suddenly seemed flimsy, useless. She might as well have been naked. Telson repeated the process for Steris, then reached for Alec's arm.
Please,
Marisi said.
He...
Telson grabbed the medallion. Alec tried to pull away, but one of the guards cuffed him across the face, cracking his mask and sending him to the snowy ground. The guard reached down, ripping off the medallion. Alec gasped loudly, huddling on the cold stone. Beyond them, the field was a flurry of activity. Tents flapped in the wind, and men scurried around the fallen hunter airship. A group of people in masks were being marched across the field to a particularly large tent, so Alec's crewmates were still alive. One man with a red uniform beneath his thick coat hiked up the steps.
Lady Sequence, he said to Telson as he reached the top. We've located what we think must be the weapon.
The bands?
Marisi asked. Telson looked at her drolly.
The bands were a possibility. An engaging one, yes, and I will not deny my disappointment. Eirich will be particularly displeased, but we didn't come here for them.
The airship, Marisi realized, looking toward it, bearing a bomb intended to destroy the temple. A bomb that had never been used. Men moved about the large airship, investigating it. This was what Suit and the others had come for. Marisi stepped forward, but one of the guards grabbed her, while another dug in her purse to check for anything dangerous. Another batted Steris's notebook from her fingers, then began to frisk Steris none too gently.
The ship is in good repair despite the elements, Sequence, the soldier told Telson as Marisi watched helplessly. It didn't crash as the other one did.
Excellent, Telson said. Let's see if that thing has any of the powering metal left in it.
She started down the steps, her warming medallion letting her ignore the freezing cold. She seemed like a spirit in her sleek, airy gown beside men in full winter gear. She hesitated, looking back at Marisi and the others.
Search them thoroughly, she informed the men. I sensed faint metal from the older woman, but it's gone now. Her notebook must have metal bindings. I don't believe they have any aluminum guns, besides the one that Waxillium had. Either way, keep watch on them. They're insurance against the short one, who is still out here somewhere.
The roof fell in on them. Wax shouted, diving toward the pedestal and the two simple bracers. Suit took a different tack. He pushed himself back away from the bracers, out of the path of the stones. Rock hit Wax like a fist, slamming him to the ground. Bones crunched inside of him. He gasped, but got a mouthful of dust. He knew how bad it was when the pain faded. As the dust settled, he found he couldn't move any part of his body. A weight rested on his back, pinning him with his head to the side. One of his hands hung within his view, the fingers mangled. He couldn't feel them. Nothing.
just his face, enough to feel the tears of pain and failure on his cheeks. Steel. He tried burning it. He felt a few wisps of it inside of him, a warmth that became the only thing he could sense. Rubble shifted nearby, and rocks clattered. A second later, Stute appeared, a cut in his arm resealing. He dusted himself off and glanced at Wax.
"The trouble with hemallergy is in its limitations," he said. "If you kill a man and steal his metallic abilities, the resulting gift to you is weakened. Did you know that? What's more, if you spike yourself too much, you become subject to Harmony's interference. Indeed, by the stories, you might open yourself to the interference of an idiot soother or rioter with enough talent." He shook his head. "I am limited to 3 boons, even if we have discovered how to make someone else weak while we gain the benefit." He glanced toward the bracers. "But if there is a way to gain more powers and not be subject to Harmony, now that would be something. I see why Telson was so eager." He left Wax, passing the frozen corpses of the dead masked ones, bits of them sticking from beneath fallen rocks. Crushed. Some even looked to have shattered. Suit stepped up to the pedestal. "Behold me, Waxilium. Today, I become a god."
Wax tried to cry out, but his lungs wouldn't hold enough air. He tried to heave himself free, but his body no longer worked. He was dying. Though steel burned fitfully inside of him, he was dying. No, he was already dead. His body just hadn't quite realized it yet. Suit held the bands. Wax twisted his head as best he could, pinned as he was to see it. The bearded man smiled broadly, waiting. Nothing happened. Suit strained, his face darkening. Then he turned the bracers around, looking them over. He put them on. Still nothing happened.
"Drained," he said with disgust. "After all this, we find them empty of attributes. What a waste."
He sighed, then walked over to Wax, sliding the aluminum gun from his pocket.
"I have no doubt that Eirik's scientists will be able to puzzle out how the bands were made. Take that thought with you into the eternities, Waxilium. Be sure to shake Iron Eyes' hand for me. I intend to never meet him."
He pressed the gun against Wax's head. And then something slammed into Suit. The man cried out, and a scuffle followed, along with the gun discharging. Suit cursing, feet on stone. A second later, Wayne scrambled into view. He knelt beside Wax and looked him over, seeming horrified.
"Wayne,"
Wax croaked.
"How?"
"Ah, nothing," his partner said. "Slipped out and fell down another of those holes. That one ended in spikes, I'm afraid. But I was able to heal up and climb out, once the soldiers had passed, then slip into this pit. You picked a better hole to fall in than I did, for sure."
"Suit."
"He ran," Wayne said. "Didn't want to face me himself, not with me healing. Right cowardly, that one."
He trailed off, looking down at Wax's body, pinned by the rock.
"I find Steris and Mercy,"
Wax croaked.
"Help them escape."
"Wax," he said, shaking his head. "No. No. I can't do this without you."
"Yes, you can. Fight."
"Not that part," Wayne said. "The rest of it. Living. We'll get you out of this."
He rubbed his eyes with the heels of his palms, then looked at the stone on top of Wax, then down at the blood pooling beneath. Then he sat back, running his hands through his hair, eyes wide as if in shock. Wax tried to urge him on, but his lips wouldn't move. Not enough strength. Maracy huddled on the cold ground with Steris and Alec, surrounded by armed men who searched their possessions. It was still night out here, but sunrise had to be close. Waxilium would have found a way out of this. "Stop comparing yourself to him," she thought.
Is it any wonder you stand in his shadow when that's all you can see yourself doing? She needed to solve this. A dozen plans ran through her head, all stupid. The guard nearby still had her purse. Relure's spike, it might be in there. Since it was hemologically invested, it might not have registered to the eyes of an allomancer looking for metals on her. The guard dumped the purse out, spilling the contents onto the cold stone. No spike. Instead, among her notebooks and handkerchiefs, tumbled a palm-sized wedge of metal. The aluminum spearhead from the statue? Wayne, I'm going to... She gritted her teeth. When had he swapped her for the spike? That man...
I searched that purse already, another guard noted. No weapons. Well then, what's this? The first guard said, picking up the wedge-shaped piece of aluminum.
The second guard snorted.
You're welcome to try to kill someone with that if you want. It's dull.
Marcy wilted, feeling stupid. Even if she had the spike, what would she do? She couldn't overpower armed guards. Then what could she do? Someone fell through the sky and thumped to the ground nearby. She perked up, thinking it must be Waxillium. Instead, it was Suit, clothing ripped and dusty, carrying a gun. The guards saluted, the one with her purse dropping it and the metal wedge. One of her glass makeup jars rolled away. Poor Alec huddled beside Steris. He'd stopped shivering, and his skin was turning blue. Steris met her eyes and looked resigned. Suit strode past. He looked far more intimidating dropping through the air using allomantic abilities than he had bundled up for the weather and standing on the steps of the temple.
"Is my brother dead?" Telson demanded, turning from her group of engineers nearby.
"Yes," Suit said, "though I encountered the short one."
"You killed him?"
"Left him distracted," Suit said. "I thought you'd want to see what I found."
He held up something that gleamed in the powerful lights the crew had set up. Two silvery bracers, each as long as a forearm.
There was a hidden chamber down there, Sequence. And my, what a secret it contained.
Telson shoved between her scientists and scrambled up to Suit. She took the bracers, awed.
They don't work, Suit noted.
What do you mean?
They're out of attributes, I think. Their reserves gone.
But they grant allomancy too, Telson said, putting them on and waving toward one of the guards who tossed her a vial of metals. She downed it, eager.
Well, Suit asked.
Nothing.
A decoy, Marcy thought. Like the glass case and the empty pedestal. Yes, that had been one too. She could see now why Waxillium had been doing his measuring.
Waxillium. He couldn't really be. No. What could she do?
Not fight, but think. These bands were a decoy, a second layer of falsehood to confuse intruders. So where were the real ones? Candles in a dark room.
They're another decoy, Wax thought, mind muddled. Those bracers were too perfect, just like the stories. They were left to fool us.
Like the symbols of Wax's old adversary painted on the door of a mansion, meant to distract, delay.
This place was made for the Lord Ruler, Wax thought. Those traps are stupid. What if one did catch him? The whole thing has to be a decoy.
So what? There was another temple out there? Maybe they had hidden it in a cave? He could barely see anymore. Wayne held his hand, tears streaming down his face. Everything was fading. A cold. Coming. Like darkness.
No, Wax thought. It wouldn't be somewhere else. He'd need to be able to find it. He'd recognize it.
It was. It was here. Wax gasped and tried to form the words, eyes wide. Wayne gripped his hand, knuckles white. He couldn't feel it. The darkness arrived, and Wax died.